Welcome to Boom Nation Presents, where unfiltered wisdom meets innovation. Join us as we delve into the minds of industry leaders of powerhouse companies, driving the skilled industries across the U.S. Get ready to explore the insights, strategies, and stories shaping the future of these dynamic sectors.
I'm Shannon Corley. Welcome to Long Live the Trades with Boom Nation. And we are presenting Leah Lamella today.
Yay. Awesome. Leah, thanks so much for joining us. We've been pumped about this for a long time. So love your content. We were talking a little bit before we hit record about just the amazing things you do and the passions that we share. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. What got you into, well, first, two questions. What got you kind of into what you do? And then what got you into sharing the content that you share every day?
Okay. So the short answer is money.
Okay.
Skilled trades, excellent, excellent salaries, right? The long answer is I'm a domestic violence survivor. I was in a woman's shelter. I had lost everything. And my brother-in-law was like, why don't you try the skilled trades? And I scoffed at him because I grew up under the impression that if you don't have money to go to some kind of school or certification, and I had nothing, everything was wiped out, gone. And he said, coincidentally enough, he overheard on a podcast about an all-female trade school that had pre-apprenticeship scholarship program, and I had nothing to lose. So I applied, was accepted, and introduced to carpentry, plumbing, electrical, and fell in love with electrical. So that's how that happened.
No, look, thank you for sharing that story. Look, I think, you know, a lot of the folks that we talk to that are in the trades, right? Like they've overcome adversity, you know, some of those much tougher than others, right? So what we in our community, right? Like we want to get the message out to folks about the opportunities that exist within the trades and incredible stories that are out there, right? And the story of the journey of people that got in, right? And I think that what you're describing is, I mean, like you just said, you'd lost everything, right? Like ground zero, right?
Yes.
And you found an industry that not only had an opportunity, right, but that also cared enough, right, to give you a pathway to get to where you are today. And then you took the bull by the horns and took that opportunity, and not just individually in what you're working, but also in the word you're spreading and the incredible channels that you've got and the platform that you've got that spreads that word to millions of folks. So thank you for sharing that with us, with our audience, and pumped to have you. So on the content side, right? Cause this isn't easy. Like the first couple ones we did just terrible. You know what I mean? Like, what got you doing that and how did you get so good at it?
Well, my journey in the skilled trades, I basically became the woman that I always knew I was, but didn't have the confidence then or the self-love then. The trades really put me on a whole nother level. That's why I am so passionate about exposing it for the type of career path that it really is. It's not just a job. It is lessons in life for success. It helps you problem solve. It helps you with math. It helps you be able to pivot. Everything in life that can be challenging, big change, for example, on a construction site, it's like Murphy's Law. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. So it teaches you to move. It teaches you to be able to pivot. It teaches you to work well in teams, how to lead. It teaches you finance. I never got a money education like I did working in the skilled trades. So when I stepped in and I started creating and building, and I'm working with electrical, I'm partial and prejudiced towards Sparkies out there. I think it's one of the better trades. I was like, I have the power. I felt like Magneto, you know, like, I'm controlling this amazing energy. And I'm looking around and I would be like nicknamed Tigger, right? Cause I'm like, what are we doing next? Like, what's, you know, so excited to be there. And the rest of the guys were not as thrilled or chipper as I was. And I couldn't wrap my head around it. I was like, where's the disconnect? Is it that I haven't been doing this long enough? Like, why why do they seem so down? And over time, I realized that the construction culture has really bad environment, like the culture itself in a lot of companies is poor. Now, that's not to say every company. I'm with a company right now that's incredible. Right. And with everything, right, there's always good and bad. Nothing is perfect. Mm-hmm. But having the platform that I have, one of the main push, one of the main reasons is these are the people that create civilization. Like, I know what it's like to live without water. I know what it's like to live without electric. Your bare survival skills and mindset come in. There is no empathy. There is no compassion. The worst of us comes out under those circumstances and conditions. Skilled trades is what builds civilization. So if you're not amplifying this and making this a desirable path and an environment that's uplifting and engaging, and if you can just imagine what Google did, take that and put that into the construction industry, holy shit. Like Renaissance, golden age, here we come. Like really, it is that incredible. So I created Sparky Life to kind of expose that part of construction, to get it to change, to introduce it to more women, because in my opinion, if more women were a part of the construction industry, a lot of the challenges and difficulties that it currently has would be wiped out. Yep. just by adding female presence really would solve a lot of it. And I really believe in allowing people to have an option to create the life they want to live. And I've had 7 different careers in my lifetime. No other career does this like the skilled trades. You were talking about your buddy earlier about the billionaire. I mean, you can be employee. If you love being an employee, you love having schedules and you don't want the responsibility, you have an amazing income just as an employee. There are so many options. You could be, you know, your own business owner, LLC, one man band, and you can go as high as heights as billionaire. So to be able to create the life that you want, have the quality of life that you want, that, I mean, to me, that's priceless.
Yeah, that's incredible. Like, could not have said it better. And hold all those beliefs here at Boom Nation. Where do I want to go with this? Okay. Women in construction. All right. So got 3 daughters. Okay.
Yes. And
all of them are a bit one more than the other 3 or with the other 2 are a bit like mechanically minded. Right. And so, I always tell people, like, you know, folks in construction are building, right? In technology, like, we're doing the same, right? Like we aren't necessarily building a physical structure, right? But that same mechanical mind, right? It's the same mechanical mind, right? But I'll tell you, like, I grew up with 4 brothers and a baby sister. All right. And, always thought that I'd have boys. Okay. I think my wife is 1 of 5 girls. 2 totally different worlds, Leah. All right.
Yeah.
I joke with people about this, but like, I'm a converted feminist. I don't have a choice. You know what I mean? but like, it also, a couple things, and I mean, you know, some of our audience may not like this, but I'm transparent. So like, there are things that they've brought me that I never would have thought that I'd be fans of, right? That I actually am, right? Like, and I know this isn't the audience to bring it to, right? But like, they're young. They're also, you know, they're younger. They're 8, 8, you know, 8, 6, and 3, right? But like, musicals and ballet.
My wife
won't go to them. Like, I go to those with them. You know what I mean? Like, anyway. But like, there's all these studies now that are right. Like, and I saw some posts this morning actually that was kind of tied to this. But like, women are better pilots, better like fighter jet pilots, right? And like commercial pilots, right? Like, there was something came up. And I think we might have posted, Shannon, on one of our pages. But they were doing a bunch of different competitions, and like the women they blew. You know, they performed at a much higher level when it came to welding. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so so and look, I'm a firm, like, diverse teams win, right? Like, diversity wins, right? Like, there's study upon study of that. I've seen it, right? So, like, could not agree with you more, right? How do we continue to do that, right? Like, how do we continue to bring diversity into the industries that we love and serve? And you know, how do we continue to bring women into construction and the skilled industries? Not just from a message standpoint, right? But, like, you know, if, you know, we may have someone listening to this podcast where they're considering it, right? Maybe paint a picture, right, of, like, what those what it looks like, what the journey looks like. You know what I mean? Like, as a woman in construction, in considering it and getting your first job, right, and then in building your career.
So as a female in construction, I've spoken to many females on the same career path or interested in this type of work on Sparky Life. And the common thread is the isolation, having to prove yourself over and over again. But I preface this with all the challenges that I faced regarded being in the industry or just starting off, it was worth it. It was way worth it. And you're not going to not face these same challenges elsewhere. For example, I was in the corporate world. I was sexually harassed in the corporate world. Like, don't think all of a sudden, you know, it's going to be 10 times worse in a construction industry. And in fact, in certain cases, I would say it's less blatant and more behind the scenes, especially nowadays. So, you know, take that for what you will, but it's not like you're not going to get the same kind of stuff somewhere else. Just because it's construction doesn't mean it's going to be more challenging. You'll still face the same challenges. At least it's been my personal experience. And there are tons of ways to handle it. You know, everything is about communication and soft skills. And the core is changing the environment. If the environment in construction, the foundation doesn't change, people are not going to join because it's a hard sell, right? Like, it's really tough in the beginning. You're, excuse me, fellow Sparkies, but no one complains like a Sparky complains. Okay. And when you're on the job site and every guy is gruff and, you know, sour and, you know, talking about how this doesn't work and that doesn't work. And, you know, the project manager doesn't know shit and the engineer doesn't know shit. And they've even now, I think it's Trevor Blake has done studies that complaining will actually impair your brain function. So it's not like this doesn't have an effect on you. Of course it does. So unless we can really transform the majority of the industry, and a lot of that comes from the old school good old boy mentality, you're not going to get a lot of people interested, because nowadays there's so many options. They're going to say, hey, why am I going to put myself through a very difficult situation for however long it takes me to find a company that's going to be a positive environment when I can just go into something else where I won't have that same challenge? Now, I would argue, because your reward will be tenfold. Okay. You're never going to be able to create what you can create in a skilled trades industry. And if you want the environment to change, you are the environment. Me just being on the team, everyone wanted to work with me. Okay. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. Everyone wanted to work with me because I'm jumping around happy as can be. Like, let's do it, guys. First of all, a lot of these men have no idea how incredible they are. They're fucking superheroes. The way the tools, like, move with their bodies, they're athletes. Mm-hmm. And the industry has, like, brought them down to think that they're a number, you know. Mm-hmm. And just they not value the true work that they're bringing. And I mean, I would be jaw-dropped. I said to my journeyman, I want to move like you. Like, it was just amazing watching him work. And he's like, time. So, I mean, I remember trying to drill. Like, I'm all over the place. The tappets are flying here and there. I'm pissed. My arms are tired. Like, you know, no technique. Torque? What's torque? Not a clue. But when you start to accomplish and build and get past those challenges, you know, the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit. So I would say that any female interested in the field, of course, you're going to you're going to come up against challenges when you're in a male dominated space, but it will be any different in any other male dominated space. And you reach out to female platforms that encourage and support women in the skilled trades. And there will be, just as much as there will be assholes, there will be amazing men that you will work with, that will mentor you, that will guide you. You'll have incredible relationships with. They'll be like the brother you never had and always wanted, which, by the way, I begged my mother for a brother and she denied me. Got what I wanted anyway. So that's basically what I would let the females know out there, that for every challenge that there lies currently in this industry, it is beyond well worth it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, the culture and the experience in general, like, we like to give an example, like, you're not, if you're a construction company or whatever company you are, right? Like, you're not competing anymore with your competitors, right? Like, you're literally competing with experiences that people have in their everyday life, right? And one experience that I like to use an example is, like, in most people, other than Android users, but if you've ever bought an iPhone, right? Like, it comes in the mail, okay? It's in, like, the most beautiful constructed box. It opens perfectly. You know what I mean? There's so much time and attention that was spent in that whole process, right? You turn it on and there's no instruction manual. Literally, it doesn't exist in the box, right? So intuitive, and so much time has been spent on that experience that you know how to use it within seconds. And, you know, kids know how to use it within seconds, right? And if everybody's seen that, they've seen, you know, a kid pick up a phone and take a picture, right?
Like, yes.
There was so much time and attention spent on what that experience would be like. And I know that's not all positive, right? But the point is, like, the care that was taken to provide that meaningful experience, right, is what you're competing with. So, yes. Like, think about, and that, you know, we've been shouting that from the rooftop. Like, yeah. Think about what you're putting the workforce through on a daily basis. You know what I mean? To find a job, to get on a project, right? Like, and some of this stuff is not like cutting edge technology. Like, hey, let's just get rid of the paper, guys. You know what I mean? And let's go digital on something for once, right? So, and look, there are some incredible companies out there that get it, and it's an incredible experience, and it's meaningful in every interaction. They retain their workers, and they, you know, if they come off a project, they've got another project for them, right? But there's also some folks that need to step it up, right? So there's a particular story. Like, we have an argument, and it's not necessarily a popular argument. Look, we got to recruit new people in the industry. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just got to recruit new folks in. There's a demand gap, all right? And there's a legitimate demand gap. But an argument that we have is, like, wait a second. We have 1.9 million people leaving construction every year. 1.9, all right? The number one reason they leave is because they miss a paycheck. They can't find their next job, right? So, like, how is that possible if we have all these jobs available, right? And it's not that they want to get out, Leah. They can't find their next job, right? And so there's a couple things that go into that, but transparency of opportunity, folks need to know where the jobs are, right? We can't just wait for workers to contact us, right? We can't put it all in the workforce. We need to be active in our recruiting, the current workforce, as well as recruiting new people in. And then we've got to take the friction out of how long it takes for them to find their next opportunity, right? So, like, could not agree with you more that culture, experience, all of that needs to be, like, drastically improved. And we have the argument, you got to improve that before you even consider recruiting anybody else in, right? Because it's just a revolving door at that point. The churn rate on a skilled worker, I think 25 and under or 24 and under, is 64%. Okay. Yeah. 64%. Like, we have to change it if we want to make a difference and get to where we want to get. So, and your platform is, you know, shouting that from the rooftop. So, and you mentioned the industry, like, so it's the world's second, third largest industry, right? $2 trillion and change industry domestically here in the United States. Right. and only adopted from a, like from a technological perspective by like less than 20%, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, it's part of where the name comes from, the Boom Nation, right? Like that, that boom is coming, you know what I mean? And like, it's a great industry to be a part of today. Does stuff need to change? Yeah. And there's a lot of people that care a lot about it changing, you know, like billions of dollars have been invested into training facilities and, you know, trying to recruit people into the trades. Right. You know, we're optimistic about it. There's a lot out there that's just incredibly pessimistic and all they want to talk about are the problems. Right. And I can sense your energy, right? Like you're just as optimistic. I think I don't know that we can match your energy. You're probably more optimistic. Yeah, but we'll try here. So, Ben, I've been talking a lot. Do you have anything you want to add?
I mean, Leah, I love what you're going for. It's great. I love that you are, you know, influencing young ladies to get into the trades and everything else. I love that you can see that the culture needs to be changed for women. You know, I was in the restaurant industry for a very long time. I got told many times that, you know, this is a man's world and you're not going to make it. And you better get ready to take some, you know, punches because you're going to get picked on. You're going to get this and everything else. And I went for it and I was successful in it and loved every minute of it. So it's very inspiring that you're doing this for the trade skills industry. Been in your shoes. Keep fighting it. It's awesome.
Thank you. Liam,
Shannon, I think like, so Shannon heads up our customer success department. And man, she is in the trenches every day. Yeah. With both our employer partners as well as our, like, she is the bridge of Boom Nation that makes those two connections. So Shannon, maybe just for like, just share some of the stuff, right? Like some of the successes, some of the struggles. Like, I think that'd be great to share and then also to get Leah's feedback on.
So like some of the struggles that I'm dealing with currently is like, I hear a lot that there's this shortage. They cannot find workers. There's not workers and everything else. And Britt and I had a discussion a while back and I'm not seeing the shortage. I have lists of people on spreadsheets that are contacting me every day. Hey, what's going on with this job? Hey, have you heard anything from this job and everything else? I think where Britt's saying that I'm the bridge is like, there's a miscommunication or there's no communication between this skilled worker ready to go to work now and that hiring manager, because he has to go through so many loopholes to get to that hiring manager. That's the biggest problem I see with what working with HR teams and the worker community out there is it just takes too long. Like, and they give up. I have to encourage guys every day, hang tight. Like, this got delayed. I know you're frustrated, but just hang tight. Or like, let's start looking elsewhere, you know? And those guys out there, I cannot tell you how eager I have 1,500 welders that I talk to regularly that are just so eager to go to work. And there's welder jobs posted everywhere. Why? Like, that's what blows my mind. We work with another company and like, I'm constantly trying to reach out and say, hey, I have 100 guys ready for you, you know, and ladies ready for you, you know, what is your need? And it's radio silence. So like, what do I have to do to like speak louder to get their attention is what I've been thinking. And so like, I started asking in our little cadence meetings that I try to have, you know, weekly, bi-weekly is, so what's your hiring manager's name and phone number? And I started directly texting that hiring manager with name, phone number of candidate, bullet point, experience. I can operate this. Here is my resume link. And sent it over to him. And I got a guy hired onto a job in 7 minutes. 7 minutes. Because I went directly to that manager. Like, it was unbelievable. And I just did it as a fluke. Just to say, why not try? What is he going to do? Ignore me? You know? And he messaged me back 7 minutes later. I hired him. Thank you. So yeah. It's just those loopholes are the biggest challenge right now for that worker community. And probably for the HR people. Because they are so busy. Excuse me. But some of them don't even know their elbow from their asshole. Like, they do not. Like, they are that busy. It's wild. Yeah. So it's and I feel them. Like, I feel their frustration with like mass applying and passive candidates. Like, because there's tons of people who do not even respond to me when I'm reaching out to them and they're applying for a job, you know, and you applied 2 and 3 times. I see you 2 and 3 times and you don't even answer me. So I get their frustration. Or they're applying for like project management and you're, you know, 18-year-olds looking to start into the trade, you know, but I think it's great to work with that community, especially that younger community, to influence them more and get them in, you know, it's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what you did was genius by approaching the hiring manager directly. Truly, you basically held that person accountable. You directly involved them. So it's a complicated thing. Okay. So you've got this huge gap, right? You've got guys who've been doing this for 2 decades, and then you've got, you know, your young ones just coming in, and the gentleman, and very few women that have been doing it for, you know, 2 decades, they were accepting of an environment where you just put up with it. Showed up and shut up. And that's the way it was. I mean, these guys, the stuff that they put up with, it's a lot, it's inhumane. A lot of no empathy. You got into a car wreck? Don't give a shit. Get your ass to work. You're not going to be here? Don't worry. I'll get someone else. You're replaceable. That's what they were taught. That was the mindset then. And you've got these younger guys coming in, and their mindset is, I'm not going to fucking put up with that. I'm going to be treated like human. Like, this is ridiculous. And usually your HR people are not skilled tradespeople. The hiring managers are typically not skilled tradespeople. They've never even been on the tools before. So what's their motivation? What's their initiative? They're not the owner of the business. They're hired to do a job, but what's the incentive? Their salary. They get paid regardless. So you held that person accountable. You said, you can't say there's not a skilled person here. Here they are. This is the skills. This is how they fit. That's how you got that done. You put it to them. And that's the way, unfortunately, it needs to get done. Because if you have no incentive to hire, and you can easily say, well, there's nobody that fits the bill, it's your scapegoat, right? It's an easy out.
Right.
I know exactly what you're talking about regarding having skilled trades guys and gals who are looking for work and struggling to find work. The breakdown a lot of the time has to do with the operations aspect of it. And a lot of the belief around what makes a great craftsman or craftswoman. So I was able to get my journeyman's licensing in 3 years. Usually it takes 4 or 5. I entered the career late in life. I worked and I studied and I had no life for 3 years. I pounded to get the credentials in order to test, in order to get my licensing. So I might not have a decade of experience in the field, but nobody will be able to outlearn me. You need me to know something? I'm hungry. I'm a sponge. I'm going to do it. And maybe the guy that's been doing it for a decade has been doing it his way. And for what you need, you don't need it his way. That's the other advantage. So they're missing out on advantages of people who are brand new, because they're turned against the foundation of what makes skilled trades so brilliant. And it's the apprenticeship aspect. Right. The reasons the golden age was so successful, the reasons the Renaissance happened, was through apprenticeship. That's how that was introduced. When you have a mentor and an apprentice working together, there's no way you're going to get better expertise than an expert working with youth. They've actually done studies on this. I don't know if you're familiar with Simon Sinek. He's big in the leadership and building teams world. And when you have a novice and you have an expert in a team, you get an even stronger team. Because what happens with an expert, what happens with all of us, we get to a point where we're so good, things become mechanical, okay? With a novice, they're going to keep asking questions, right? Because they're learning. I can't tell you how many times I asked a journeyman why he was doing what I was doing, and I prevented an issue because I asked a question. So it's sometimes they go into like robot mode. But when you have somebody new and you're having to help teach them why you're doing what you're doing, it helps you go through why you're doing what you're doing. And it also provokes a new way of doing things. I've had apprentices say, well, if we're going to run this raceway like this, why can't we go in this direction or over here? And sure enough, it just so happened. But because I'm used to doing it a certain way, I got into a groove of recognizing some things. I didn't even look at that option. But because they brought it up, now all of a sudden I'm interested. So really it boils down to mindset and holding people accountable. That's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So when you have people asking you, you know, I'm looking for a job, I'm applying here and there. Who did you speak to? Did you just send a resume out? Who's your contact there? You know, and then you being the bridge, you being the liaison, you're the one that has the ability to bring those two separate worlds together and help make that match. So we need more of you. As we work on making the mindset change and be more open to the new guys coming in. That's the other thing. They think, oh, he's new. He knows nothing. It's going to be so much work to train him. I'm going to have to hold his hand. You know how many times I've heard that? I'm going to have to hold his hand. No, I got news for you. No, these guys want to work. They want to work. You show them it once. You and this is another thing. Okay. If you can't create a system for them to follow, then don't get frustrated that they're not getting it. You need to look in the mirror. If someone's not getting your instruction, it's because you're not communicating in a fashion that they can hear you. Okay. It's about figuring out how to get them in a position where they can absorb what you're telling them and then get them to produce. And there's so many ways to do this. If you just put in the effort, and if you're lacking in this area, hire a consultant. We have so many opportunities nowadays. It doesn't have to be you. I know great guys, amazing, talented guys. They suck at onboarding. They completely suck at it. No problem. There's another guy in the industry that I guarantee you, or gal, who's excellent at onboarding and will be able to take that role on. It's how successful do you want to be? Do you want to keep complaining how you can't find anybody, or you want to do something about it?
Right.
So I totally resonate with what you're saying. And I see several reasons of why this is happening. It's you know, different generations, different mentalities, and you're trying to bridge that gap.
So you think it's more of encouraging the selection of younger folks into the opportunities that are there? Or you think it has more to do with the onboarding, the processes, just cutting through the BS?
I think it's a combination. It's two major things. So it happens from top down. Okay. A great leader is able to lead. If people aren't staying with you, it's not the people, it's you. Okay. And it's so easy for a business owner to say that no one wants to work anymore. They just don't have the same grit. It has nothing to do with it. I hate to break it to you. If you are a true leader, you will get people to follow. It's what is the foundation of your organization? I know that one of the top $1 trillion corporations in electrical, their mission statement is people first. They didn't become a $1 trillion corporation in the United States because they said people just don't want to work. We're gonna line them up and knock them down. Like, that is obviously not how they got where they are. So that's one aspect, changing the mindset, changing, you know, you think you have to have an expert to get things done quickly and easily. That's not necessarily always the case. So be open and willing to hire what you might consider someone you're inexperienced or maybe doesn't check all of your boxes. Okay. This brings me to another study real quick by Todd Rose. They've done many, many studies on the average. Okay. And they've discovered that a lot of our science that is based on averages is false. There's no such thing as average. And I recommend very much so that everyone reads the book. It's quite amazing and will help you assess what will be the right fit for the job you are asking someone to do. Hiring people from your job descriptions is like the worst thing you could possibly do.
Yeah. Now you're talking our language.
Yeah.
And then with the younger guys, it's that they don't have the knowledge. So first of all, no one's talking about skilled trades. I mean, we have amazing people like you know, this podcast, Sparky Life, but we are small in comparison to you know, going through high school and constantly hearing about college. Okay. Yes. They just don't, they're not exposed to it. And there's nothing on TV. Like Mike Rowe, I asked Viola, this 12-year-old in HVAC, does she know who Mike Rowe is? To have a clue. They didn't grow up with dirty jobs. They don't know what that is, you know, and they don't understand. This is another thing. No one explains to them. Yes. When you're walking in, you're going to make like 18 an hour, but guess what? In no other profession are you financially going to move up in such vast percentages like you will the skilled trades. So for me, I stepped in at $18 an hour and I'm, you know, stepping in later in life. I've got bills to pay. I'm not with mommy and daddy. I got to hold my own, right? I was like, oh shit, how am I going to survive? In 6 months, it was 24 an hour. In less than 2 years, I doubled my salary. I've never worked in an industry before that I could move like that. Never. Yeah. So yes, okay, walk in the door, $18 an hour, yabay. But it's going to be a very short period of time. Like, and yeah. You have the power. They need you. So if you go to your boss after 6 months and say, hey, look, I need to survive. Like I perform well for you. This is what I produce. I'm hungry. I'm here to learn. I'm on time. It's going to be a hard thing for boss man to say no at that point, especially if you could easily go somewhere else. And I have never gotten so many job offers in all my life. I just got off another phone call. I'm happy where I currently am. But that doesn't mean I close off to opportunities. And I have recruiters constantly knocking down my door. There are jobs everywhere. There are. It's just bridging that gap.
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. Yeah. I think bridging the gap and just looking at the time, that's like incredible spot to kind of end on. Leah, this has been awesome. I mean, like in just so many different ways. And just so thankful you're willing to come on. Genuinely mean that. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for your time today. Is there anything you want to leave the audience with?
I just am so thankful for you guys and what you're doing. And I am totally on board with any way that I can support.
Awesome. Well, the feeling of mutual is there. Thank you for all of our listeners out there. Remember to like, subscribe. We appreciate y'all. We're doing this for you. So thank you so much for being here, Leah. Shannon, awesome job. Everybody have a great day.
Thanks for joining us on another rugged journey through the blue-collar world on Long Live the Trades. Remember, it's the sweat, the grit, and the indomitable spirit that keeps our trades alive. Until next time, keep those boots on the ground, hands in the dirt, and long live the trades.